Thank you to the worship team. I forgot Paul played the trumpet. It's been a lot of years. I totally forgot that. That's fantastic. I want to say thanks also to Tyler. He's been a great help to me throughout this week, getting me like an email address and all kind of tech stuff. So a big thanks to him as well. So I forgot three announcements while I was up here. Can you believe that? One is, for all of the mothers and the ladies in the house, immediately after service, I'm going to beeline for the door because I want to greet you all, but I have a gift for you, a flower and some kind of chocolate. You get to choose your chocolate, so I want to greet all the ladies as you're leaving today. So please, if you can exit, you know, out that door there, I'll be out there with a flower and a gift for you. Also, in the future, we're going to do something really special for Pastor John and Kim, serving here for 35 years. So we didn't forget about them. I'm hoping to do that in June sometime. I still want to put together the details and really celebrate them for their faithfulness, for birthing this church, and just being such a fantastic couple. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is tithes and offerings. So if you don't see me give, I'm a huge, huge giver. My wife and I, my children, totally, totally into the biblical principle of stewardship, giving, money, massive. I do everything online, okay? Tyler got me hooked up on, you can go to like our, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, Tyler, but you go to our Facebook, you can hit the website, you can go on the website, hit a little green button, it's Tithely, tithely.ly.com, so I got my credit card and all that stuff put in there, you know, and I just, like when I go through Fridays, do all my stuff, I go through and we give huge, well above 10%. This is just personal testimony real quick. I love to study, and we will at one point teach this biblical principle of biblical stewardship, but it's so amazing to have the windows of God open to you and just pour into you. So if you don't see me come up here, I'm not a tither. I just want to say that because I always believe in leading by example, okay? But I do it digitally, so I definitely am doing that and just wanted you all to know that. So very good. And you know, when I was welcoming the guests earlier, I hope I didn't embarrass anybody. That wasn't my intent. You know, just kind of running around there like crazy and stuff. So appreciate you all being here, though. This is great. And so if you have a chance in your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 2 with me. I typically will read or refer to the New Living Translation. And I think my edition is like maybe the 2016 edition is what I have and what I'm reading from. In case you'd like to follow along in the New Living, or it's different, I don't know. New King James is good too. It flows well. But I have the New Living Translation. So think with me today. You know, this. I want this to be encouragement for the mothers, of course, all the guys, everybody as well, but just encouragement for us all in just a crazy, messed up world. And you know, whatever happens in this world, I can grab my Bible and like I pick it up and start reading and saying, wow, it was messed up back then too. It was really crazy back then too. You know, so and Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. And so it's very interesting to see so many crazy things that people were living under back in the old days, the biblical days, as we are today. And so we're in Exodus chapter 2, and we're looking at the birth of Moses. And I do want to read 10 verses here, so if you'll be patient with me. But to bring your mind up to speed where my mind is, the king, Pharaoh, is... the king Pharaoh has put out a decree for all the midwives, whenever there's a baby born and it's a boy, dispose of it, kill it, right? And so that's what they're living under right now as Moses is being born. And so in Exodus chapter 2, it says, about this time, a man and a woman got married. They were from the tribe of Levi, and the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. Now, I'm going to stop along the way just because I have to, because I love to explain stuff, because I love the study of the Bible. Do you know, in the Bible, talking about the basket here, the original Hebrew word is the same exact word for the ark, Noah and the ark. And it's the only two times that word is used throughout Scripture. Now, not twice only, but the basket and the Noah's Ark. And how was she making it? What did they do to Noah's Ark? They put the tar and the papyrus, right? It says the same thing. And so it's the same word, Hebrew word, for the Noah and the Ark as it is what she built for Moses. I just thought that was really cool when I was doing this study. So she put the baby in the basket, laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down and bathed in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt so sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, please do," she said. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me." The princess told the baby's mom, "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses because the name means to lift him out of the water. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. And Father God, it is powerful. Whatever situation we're in today, whatever we're facing, Father, wherever we're at in life and our journey through life, your word is powerful to speak to us, to encourage us, to help us, and to increase our faith. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would grant us the spirit of revelation. And what that simply means is that the word of God will be revealed to us. May I speak in clarity, Father, so that the word may be heard and understood. But Father, grant us revealing of your word applicable to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you heard the story. You remember the story. In Hebrews 11, it is the faith chapter, right? So the faith chapter is faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And so faith brings our hopes into a reality. When we have faith, brings our hopes into a reality. Faith becomes the foundation that we need to acquire things that we long for. Faith becomes the foundation of the things that we need and long for. Now, if you remember, the last time I was here, and I don't expect you to remember, so I'm going to refresh your memory. In John 14, we were talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Jesus is telling his disciples, "Hey, I'm getting ready to go. Got to go away." They're confused. "What do you mean go away? Where's go? I want to go with you." He's like, "Listen, just follow my lead," he's saying. "I'm going to tell you the truth," he says in John 14. "I got to go. Going to send you somebody else in my place." And as he's telling them that, he says, "You guys can ask anything in my name and I'll do it." And then again, he says, "Listen, ask anything in my name and I will do it." That quote there, "anything in my name," actually is the same talking of longing for. It's desire. It's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's the birthing of him inside of us that there's a reason why I'm longing for this, because it's the Holy Spirit longing me for this. And so he says, when you feel that longing and you ask me for it, I'm going to give it to you. And so that's so cool to see here. And the faith becomes the foundation that we need to acquire, to take hold of, to have evidence of things that for some reason inside of me, I'm longing for this. Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's a settledness. Maybe it's, I don't know, you fill in the blank in your life. But that longing comes from him, and then he says, "I want to fill it for you." Faith, it's all the evidence that's required to prove what is still unseen. It is this testimony of faith of what all the previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. You know, you have to, in faith, believe in the beginning God created, right? That's faith that we have that allows us to believe that. He spoke in the invisible realm. When God spoke, the invisible realm gave birth to everything now that we see. And it's faith that we believe that. Now, if you think about in Hebrews chapter 11, it's the faith chapter. And then they go down through and they name all these great people of faith, right? It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering, that Enoch was taken to heaven without dying. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat. And the examples go on and on. But when you get to Hebrews 11:23, it says, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. And I can't stop to think. Now, can you imagine the crazy stuff that we're going through? Can you imagine, moms, I can't imagine this, I'm sorry, carrying a child for 9 months and knowing after 9 wonderful months, right? 9 wonderful months that your child is going to be taken and killed, disposed of. Can you imagine, moms? I can't believe the faith that's had here. Now, don't put up the next slide, because this is a gift. Does anybody know Moses' mother's name? Dun, 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 dun. I only do because I was studying it. Like, I don't remember names. And forgive me in advance for not remembering y'all's name. I'm going to work on it really hard, okay? Does anybody know? Does anybody know Moses' father's name? Don't be shy. You don't have to pronounce it right, because like I was hitting the, you know, blueletterbible.org, you can hit the pronunciation of words, and oh my goodness. Wait, who? No. Unless I'm wrong, I mean, I can be wrong. Okay, so bring up the slide. Did somebody say it? Who, what? Whoa. Yeah. Okay, now, Amwam is how you pronounce his name. We're not going to say it like that, Amwam, okay? Now, the mother's name is actually pronounced. You have to cough a K, swallow an H, and roll an R. Okay, like, it's just the Hebrew thing, right? It's Yocheded. Yocheded. Something like that is how it's pronounced. I would say Jochebed. I don't know. Okay, Moses' mom is probably how she's going to be referred to today. But the name means Jehovah is glory. Her name means Jehovah is glory. Jehovah, the existing one, the proper and the one true name of God, Jehovah. Her name means Jehovah is glory. So the father is Amram, Jochebed, and then there's three kids we're talking about, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Now, Jochebed was of the Levitical priesthood, which then, remember, Aaron became a priest, right? And so, just phenomenal when you study names and everything here. And now here's, I don't mean to blow you out of the water or anything, but did you know that Moses' father married his aunt? I'm not even going to go there today, but I do want to say this, okay? I do want to say this from that. Listen, it doesn't matter how you came and were conceived into this world. It doesn't. I don't care whether it was for your child or how you got here, when you got here, whatever the story is. It does not matter. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. No matter what, you're here and you are part of God's beautiful plan. In Jeremiah 29, it says, God says, the Lord declares, I have plans for you, he says. Jesus would say to you today, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I have plans to give you peace. I have plans to comfort you. I have plans of prosperity for you. I have health for you. I have a place of safety for you, he says. And let me tell you what I don't have for you. He says, I don't have wickedness, I don't have hurt, I don't have trouble, I don't have affliction, and I don't have adversity for you, declares the Lord. What I have for you is a prosperous life and plan. I knew you while you were in your mother's womb. His creation put the two together and made it all happen. Doesn't matter how you got here, that doesn't matter at all. What matters is to know that he has a plan and a purpose for you. And I love where this goes on to say. It says, I have plans to give you hope in a future. Now that word hope is actually He has plans to give you the things you long for. Did you just hear that somewhere? That's what that means right there. I have plans to give you what you're longing for, he says. This is Jeremiah. We just read this in Hebrews 11. We saw this in John 14. The Lord declares, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I have plans to give you what you hope for and a future. Isn't that fantastic? Even though this world drags us down, even though there's a decree to take my child and kill it when it's born. Oh my gosh. I mean, that's so hard to get our minds all wrapped around. So back to Hebrews 11, 23. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, a special child. And they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. And it, you know, that made me think of the world we're living in today. There may be a decree come out that doesn't line up with our biblical principles. And that we have to go, I can't kill my child because you just don't do that, right? Like, no, I'm going to hide them. Even though the decree is give them up, put them out there, let them be killed. No, I'm sorry. That's not the biblical life of God that he has. That's not the commandments that I follow. That's not his word that I follow. So there are times in life that we have to refuse to maybe follow a mandate that's out there. And I'm not saying, you know, if a store says wear a mask, don't wear a mask. I'm not saying, like, you know, like, whatever. But there's times in our lives where we have to stand up for the truth. We have to stand up for what we're longing for because we know it's the life, it's the Holy Spirit inside of us that's prompting us to go and to do and to be. Now, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, is one of the underappreciated mothers in the Bible, but yet she showed such a tremendous faith in God. To avoid the mass slaughter of the Hebrew boys, she set her boy adrift in the Nile River, hoping that someone would find him and raise him. So God worked that her baby was found by the princess, right? Pharaoh's daughter. And even Moses' mother would become her own nurse's son and nursing a child and get paid for it. Can you imagine that? Ensuring that Israel's great leader would grow up under the godly influence of his mother during the most formative years. Isn't that phenomenal? How, you know, I see this family here as being, you know, the family of the names up there. That family is such a passionate family of determination, is what I see. In the lives of this family here, they are determined. I would be convinced that the older sister, Miriam, was sent out. Like, she sent Miriam a text, okay, and said, listen, the baby's going to be in the basket down by the Nile River. Do something about it. This is your little boy. This is your little brother. You better do something about it. And Miriam got the text, and she was down there at the perfect time. And she had the perfect lineup. Hey, princess, you're not nursing, but I know somebody is. Would you like me to take them to this other person so they can be nursed? Oh, that's fantastic. What a great idea. You go ahead. In fact, I'm even going to pay her to do it, whoever this other woman is. Isn't that how God works things out? You have to scratch your head sometimes and say, wow, I couldn't have connected those dots. I couldn't have done this myself. It's only by the hand of God. And then to think for a mother, with all that anxiety, with all that giving my son up, maybe Miriam won't be there and I'm going to lose my child, never to see my child again. But for God to give the baby back in the most formative years, you know, as a child is young, that young age, that's when you really form them. That's when the foundation is made. That's when things are set in order. And he was able to be with his birth mother during all those years to be formed under a godly influence of his true mom. That's just so beautiful. In Hebrews 11, 24 now, it says that by faith, Moses, now let's talk about Moses a little bit. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up then, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called her daughter. But he chose instead to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. This is interesting. Moses chose to share the oppression of God's people, basically to be under the persecution and to be treated illy as a Christian. He chose that over all the things that the rich Egyptians had. All the cell phones, all the iPads, all the tech stuff, all the greatest stuff is what all the Egyptians had. Leading technology and all kinds of things. They had all that, but he chose over those temporal, sinful pleasures. Now, I'm not saying iPhones are sinful, but you follow what I'm saying. In the world, that there's so many things that we can do that it's pleasurable, but only for a season. Right? I can do these things and this feels great, but it's only for a season. It's a fleeting pleasure, it says. Fleeting pleasure of sin. It's temporal. We know that our Savior is eternal. The things that He brings about us. You know, the word eternal, I don't know about you folks, but I can't comprehend it. Like, I don't know. I have a clock that I'm always working by, right? What is it like to live without a clock? What is it like to not have an end to anything? I don't know. Eternal. Infinity. Moses thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ to own the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his great reward. Moses was focused looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and the sprinkled blood on the doorposts that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. God used Moses mightily. You know all about Moses. But let's think about a couple things. God used Moses so mightily to free the Hebrew people from their 400 years of bondage and slavery and to take them to the promised land. I mean, what about that plan? What if Moses would have been killed? What if your child, your circumstance, what if you would have gone this way or that way? What if you would have followed all the crazy stuff, that the deception that comes out now that different people want to do or lead you by? Moses' mother's faith allowed her to see the importance of saving her child's life so that he might in turn save his people. Although little is written about Moses' mother in the Bible, the story speaks so powerfully to all of the mothers today and the faith that you've had. Many of you moms, you carry so much. You go through so much. You are a lot of times unappreciated, unspoken of. Like, your dinner's usually cold if you have little kids, right? Like, you make sure the kids eat, and then you finally eat the cold dinner when it's all left over, or you've ate some scraps along the way, leftovers to feed yourself because the kids go. I mean, think of all those things that mothers do, and they're not appreciated for. Thank you, moms. Thank you, mothers. You're wonderful, Betty. You're wonderful, Mom. Isn't that? And so we have to show appreciation to people and encourage one another. The faith that she had and the faith that we can look at as Moses' mother, the faith that our moms have, the women have, I think is just incredible. Way to go, moms. Way to go, ladies, soon to be moms. That's awesome. Commendable to you. So now, by God's providence, he overruled the evil of Pharaoh and saved Moses, who in turn was going to be used to deliver the Israelites out of the Egyptian slavery. Moses' mom's early godly ministry in raising Moses had a long-lasting impression on his mind, and he was able to resist the strong heathen influences that surrounded him. Because of his mother, because of her faith, because of being raised as he was by a faithful mother, grandmother, somebody has prayed for you, somebody, you know, that faith and influenced him in such a strong way that he was able to reject that strong heathen world that he was living in. And how many can say there's so many heathen things going on now that you have to be careful what's going into your brain? You have to be careful. Everybody's going this way, but I got to be the goldfish and go that way. Even though that seems right, that seems easy, I got to go this way for some reason. I don't feel that's right. I got to start going this way. In Numbers 12, that was my thingy. If you have a second, you can turn to Numbers chapter 12. Do you remember in Numbers 12 where Miriam, Moses' sister and brother, were spazzing out because he married a Cushite woman? Do you remember that? That's an amazing thing right there. Like, Miriam and Aaron was having nothing of it. In fact, so much that God said, all right, the three of you, go to the tabernacle and meet me there. And when the three of them got to the tabernacle, God said, Miriam and Aaron, step forward. And they came up here. And he said, who are you? Who are you? I do not talk to Moses in riddles. I show up to him face to face. And we have a conversation. Who are you to be criticizing this man of God that I have chosen? And I love what it says, because it says that Moses was more humble than any other person on earth. And I believe, this is my opinion, I believe that God chose Moses because of his humility. As the person that he could meet face to face on the mountain, right? He bled. Moses, God, just come past me. He's like, you can't, you'll melt. I just got to kind of swing by you and you see the back of me. You can't see the front of me. And he hid himself. Isn't it amazing? I mean, this is the child that there was a decree put out to kill, to throw him away. In Deuteronomy 3, we got a minute. Let's look at this. Deuteronomy 34. This is talking about the death of Moses. It's really neat. Deuteronomy 34. And like, I would encourage all of you, bring your paper Bibles or your iPads or whatever you do, because like, I don't like to overwhelm these guys by always putting like 1,000 scripture verses up there, because I also believe in paper, there's great things in this right here. Holding this, having this, and if you're digital, that's totally cool. I do a lot of things on my computer and copy and paste and stuff like that, but a guy the other day, a tech guy, told me, he said, Adam, I never would have thought of this, he said, but you know, back in the day, so many people stored things on floppy disks and all this stuff, he said, and now those things are becoming so obsolete. He has a big computer company in Cumberland. He said, we are having a hard time pulling and extracting information from these that people put on them. He said, so you're always better to do paper. You're always better to have something wrote down, he said, because all technology, it gets so old so quick that a lot of times it's just unretrievable at that point then. And how cool is it to hand things down to your kids and grandkids? This was Pappy's Bible. This was his notes. That's really cool, right? That was a little digress there. So Deuteronomy 34, as you were finding Deuteronomy 34, verse 1, Moses went up to Mount Nebo. This is the death of Moses. From the plains of Moab and climbed the Pisgah Peak, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all of the land of Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all of the land of Judah extending from to the Mediterranean Sea, Negev, the Jordan River, or the Jordan Valley, the Jericho, the city palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is the land that I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have now allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but you will not enter the land. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there on the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him. Now, some quotations don't say that. In the valley near Beth Peor in Moab. But to this day, no one knows the exact place where Moses was buried. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyesight was clear. I thought that was very interesting. He took him up there to do what? Take a look. To see. And he had his eyesight, guarantee you, 20/20. Maybe gave him super binocular eyes right there during that time to let him see the beauty of the land. 120 years old, eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. The people of Israel mourned for Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days until the customary period of mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 10, there has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and in his entire land. With mighty power, Moses performed terrifying acts in the sight of all of Israel. And then do you remember what happens later that's referred to in the New Testament in Jude verse 9? There is now a spiritual warfare happening and disputing over the body of Moses. Isn't that amazing? Moses was dead. It says in Jude verse 9, the devil and the great angel, the archangel Michael, disputed over the body of Moses. And that's where the beautiful saying is. Michael said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. That was the child that there was a decree put out to kill. Not just him, all. But that was the final. And we hardly even skip something across the top of his life and the works that he did. The works that you can do for the kingdom of God. The works and the plans that God has for you. For your journey through this life. So how is all this applicable to me? How can I take this and apply it to my life today then? Mothers, fathers, male, female, girls, boys. In Hebrews chapter 12, after we make it through the book of the Hebrews 11, faith chapter, in Hebrews 12, it says, because of the biblical examples of faith that we just read about in chapter 11, it says that we can. So you and I, this is what's applicable for you and I. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircled us like clouds. Talking about all those in Hebrews chapter 11. We put emphasis on Moses' mother, Moses. But all of these great stories, all this great truth, their examples of faith encircle us like clouds. So for the last 2 days, praise God, we got some sunshine today. But the mountains were covered in fog, clouds. And being a pilot, man, when you get into clouds, and sometimes you can't even see the wingtip of your airplane. Like, it's nothing. Like, you're in it. And you've been in fog and, you know, thick stuff as you're driving and stuff. It's like you can't even see the end of your hand. And it says that that's what encompasses us as a witness to help and encourage and to strengthen us on our journey today. So we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So, what must we do? And I'm in Hebrews 12, verse 1. What we must do, it says, is let go of every wound that has pierced us. What we must do is put off and lay aside, put away every wound that has pierced us. That might be easy to say, but I don't think that's easy to do. Some have, in the journeys of life, some have been wounded so deeply. Some have been hurt so hard. I wrote this down. The person who hurt me doesn't deserve forgiveness. But even if they don't deserve forgiveness, you deserve peace by forgiving them. And that's not easy either. That's not easy either. But we're encouraged to try to put away, put off, lay aside everything that has ever pierced you, every sin that so easily trips you up or helps you, makes you fall down. Then what? Then you and I will be able to run life's marathon race. In the Bible, our journey through life is a journey, it's a race, it's often referred to. Then once we kind of do our best to push those things aside, we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion, with determination. How? Because the path has already been marked out before us. Because Jeremiah 29, I already have a plan for you. Help, support, safety. I have all that laid out for you. So it's there before us. We have to constantly keep pushing aside all this trash, all this stumbling stuff, so that with passion and determination, we can still force forward, fail forward in life, and keep growing in the Lord. It says, we look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation on Jesus. Remember earlier I referred to you, it said that Moses was focused. You remember that? Hold on, let me pull it out. We said that in Hebrews 11, 23, it says that he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead. He was focused on toward his great goal. It was by faith that Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. He kept focused on Jesus Christ, on the cross, on what has happened on the cross. So we focus, and our attention and expectation is on Jesus Christ, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example was this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. Jesus' heart was focused on the joy of knowing you would be his, because he endured the agony of the cross and he conquered humiliation and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God on your behalf. He is you on the right hand in authority and your mediator on your behalf in your life. So in closing today, if you have doubts, if you're struggling, if you're carrying baggage, if you have church hurts, if you have questions, if you have addictions, if you're just struggling in life, I would encourage you to come to Jesus. This is a beautiful prayer of Moses in Psalms 90 that I came across. So this is something that Moses wrote. It's in Psalms 90, 15 and 17. It says that we've been overwhelmed with grief. Moses is praying to the Lord, Lord, we've been overwhelmed with grief. And now, Father, we pray, come and overwhelm us with gladness. We ask, Lord, that you would replace our years of trouble with decades of delight and joy. I love that. Take my years. Remember, God's in the business of multiplication. And turn those years into decades, sets of tens of years of delight and joy in my life. Lord, let us see your miracles again. Let the rising generation see the glorious wonders that you're so famous for. The great faith of all those that we looked at in Hebrews 11. Oh Lord, our God, let your sweet beauty rest upon us. Let your favor rest upon us, O Lord. Come work with us, and then our works will endure, and you will give us success in everything that we do. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. I thank you, Father, for each and every person that's come out today to worship you, to honor you in this house. I thank you, Father, for every female, every mother that's here, Lord. And Father, we looked at your word at a mother of great faith, Moses' mother. Father, as we think this morning, we pause for just a second to reflect on your word. Father, this world is troublesome. This world has lots of messes, lots of ways that pull us aside and trip us up. And Father, that's the time and the season that we're living in. But Father, we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus. We're so grateful for the plan that you have for us. Father, for the plans to prosper us and to not harm us, Father. The plans to help us to succeed, the plans of safety, the plans of peace. Father, we thank you that the desires that you put in our hearts come from you. And when we have that prompting of your great Spirit, Holy Spirit, part of your Trinity that comes alongside of us. It says that the Holy Spirit is The Greek word parakaleto comes alongside and encourages us. It's the Holy Spirit that seals us for the day of redemption. We thank you, Father, that as we follow that leading, that godly leading, your Spirit inside of us, that, Father, with that comes great power, that anything we ask, he says that you'll do it. And even the desire coming for you to ask, it's so incredible, Father, how you've set up the whole plan for us. So with heads bowed this morning and eyes closed, if you're like me and you hear these stories and you think, Lord, I'm making it, I'm pressing forward, I'm failing forward, and I'm falling forward, but Lord, I just want to raise my hand this morning and say, Father, increase my faith. Would you raise your hand with me this morning if you want to say, increase my faith, O Lord. Thank you for all of you raising your hands this morning that you have. Father, we've raised our hands to signify that, Lord, we need our faith to increase. We want our stories written and told about us in the future, Father, the great faith that we had in you. So, Father, I pray that each and every person here would be strengthened in their faith to run the race with perseverance and determination, with your encouragement, with your enthusiasm, with your joy along the road. And Father, I pray a special blessing on each and every mother here today. Father, may you bless them and keep them. May your face and your favor shine upon them. Father, we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.